Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Discovery Rangers. What if we could put sunscreen on the Earth? Learn about solar geoengineering, a cool science idea to help cool our planet. Educational STEM for kids, homeschool.
Welcome, everyone, to today's deep dive. We are so glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. We've got a really wild topic today.
We really do. And, you know, I want to speak directly to all you curious young minds listening right now. Today, we are going to explore a massive, almost sci-fi idea.
It honestly sounds like something straight out of a comic book or a futuristic movie.
Totally. And to figure this out, we are pulling from a huge stack of real science sources. We've got reports from the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, plus scientists at Harvard University, and some big environmental groups.
Right. Some of the smartest people in the world are looking into this.
So our mission today is to unpack this big idea called solar geoengineering. But to understand it, I want you to imagine the Earth as a giant house.
Okay. A giant house. I like that.
Yeah. And right now, because of greenhouse gases, which come from things like cars and factories, this giant house has way, way too many thick blankets on it.
And just like when you're under too many blankets, the house is getting super uncomfortable and warm. It's sweating.
Exactly. So if we have too many blankets, I mean, the obvious answer is to just take them off, right?
Right, which means stopping the pollution.
But what if we can't take the blankets off fast enough? Is there a way to, like, just block the sun from shining through the window in the first place?
Well, yes. And that exact idea, blocking or reflecting the sun, is exactly what scientists mean when they say solar geoengineering.
Okay, so that leads us to our first big question. Why are scientists even looking for a temporary fix? Why not just focus on the blankets?
Because, the reality check is that the Earth is already really feeling that heat. Climate change is causing stronger storms, melting the ice at the North and South Poles and, you know, drying out the land.
Yeah, the Earth is basically running a fever right now.
Exactly. And even with all the countries getting together, like with the Paris Agreement, where they promised to try and keep the warming under 2 degrees Celsius, we just aren't cutting down our pollution fast enough.
We're moving too slow.
Yeah, we are. So solar geoengineering isn't actually about fixing the root cause. It doesn't get rid of the greenhouse gases at all.
Wait, really? It doesn't fix the gases.
Not even one little bit. It's more like putting sunscreen on the Earth.
Sunscreen.
Yeah. If you put sunscreen on the Earth, you can quickly cool it down in a matter of months.
Yeah.
It buys us time to do the really hard work of actually fixing the pollution problem.
Oh, wait. So let me make sure I'm getting this and that you listening at home get this too. This isn't a cure for the Earth's fever.
Nope, not a cure.
It's basically just giving the Earth a really big ice pack or like a giant sun hat so it feels better for a little while. But the actual sickness is still there.
Yes, that is a perfect way to think about it. Mm. And it's a super crucial difference that you have to keep in mind for the rest of our deep dive. The sickness is still there.
Okay, so if the Earth needs a sun hat, my next question is, like, how on Earth do you build a sun hat big enough for a whole planet?
That's where it gets really crazy. Scientists are researching four main sci-fi ways to basically hack the sky.
Hack the sky. I love that. Okay, lay the first one on me.
Okay, method number one is called stratospheric aerosol injection.
That is a very long name.
I know, it's a mouthful. You can just call it SAI. Basically, this involves flying special, super high up planes into the stratosphere.
Which is way, way above where regular airplanes fly, right?
Right, super high. And these planes would spray tiny microscopic particles like sulfur dioxide into the air. These tiny particles would act like millions of tiny little mirrors bouncing the sunlight right back into space.
That sounds completely made up. Has that ever even happened?
Well, yeah, in nature, actually. Back in 1991, a giant volcano called Mount Pinatubo erupted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it naturally burped millions of tons of these particles high into the sky. It actually cooled the whole Earth down for a couple of years.
That's incredible. So SAI is basically like shaking up a giant global snow globe, but instead of snow, it's millions of microscopic mirrors floating above the clouds.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. What's method number two?
Method two is called marine cloud brightening, MCB.
Marine. So we're talking about the ocean now.
Yep. Picture the clouds over the ocean as giant white blankets. Scientists think that by using special boats to spray tiny little sea salt particles up into the air.
Wait, just sea salt? Like, what's in the ocean already?
Yep, just salty ocean water.
Mm-hmm.
When they spray it up, it makes the clouds whiter and fluffier. And because they're brighter, they reflect more sunlight away.
Oh, that's brilliant. Just making the clouds extra fluffy.
It's pretty smart, yeah.
Okay, so that's two. What's the third word?
The third one is sort of the opposite. It's called cirrus cloud thinning.
Thinning? But I thought we wanted more clouds to block the sun.
Well, not all clouds are helpful. Way, way up high, there are these thin, icy clouds called cirrus clouds, and they actually trap heat inside the Earth.
Oh, so they're like the bad blankets we talked about earlier.
Exactly. So the goal here is to try and make those icy clouds thinner so the Earth's trapped heat can finally escape out into space.
Got it. Okay, you said there were four ways. What's the last one?
Oh, method four is the most futuristic one of all. Space sunshades.
No way. Like literally putting a giant umbrella in space.
Literally. They are actually looking into putting giant mirrors or like a huge massive umbrella in space floating right between the Earth and the sun.
That is wild. I mean, all of these sound like amazing superpowers. Like if we could do this, we could stop the ice from melting and protect animals and farms.
It really does sound like a superpower. But you know what they say about superpowers?
Every superpower has a weakness or a catch.
Yes.
Like kryptonite.
Exactly. And the catch here is huge.
Mm.
Our sources from the environmental groups are, well, they're pretty worried about what happens if this all goes wrong.
Okay, let's get into the risks. What's the biggest danger?
Well, the biggest and scariest risk is something scientists call termination shock.
Termination shock. That sounds bad.
It is bad. So imagine we start spraying all those tiny mirrors in the sky to cool the Earth down.
Okay, the snow globe. I'm picturing it.
But then, for some reason, maybe an accident or something, we suddenly stop. Because the greenhouse gases are still trapped underneath, the Earth's temperature would shoot up like a rocket almost immediately.
Wait, like overnight?
Well, maybe over a few months, but super fast. And that sudden spike would be incredibly dangerous for plants, animals, and, you know, humans. They wouldn't have time to adapt.
Okay, yeah, that is terrifying. It's like taking the ice pack off a fever before the medicine works, and the fever just spikes instantly.
Perfect example. And there's another problem, too. The cooling from these methods wouldn't be perfectly even.
What do you mean? Like some places get cold and others don't?
Kind of. Playing with the sky could actually change how the rain falls. It could cause terrible floods in some places, but then cause extreme droughts like no rain at all in huge areas like Asia and Africa.
Which means farmers wouldn't be able to grow food for billions of people?
Right. And to make it worse, spraying all those particles could damage the ozone layer.
That's our natural shield against the sun's bad rays, right?
Exactly. Plus, it could cause air pollution down where we live, making it harder for people and animals to breathe.
Wow. And what about the oceans? If we're just blocking the sun, all that carbon pollution is still going into the water, right?
Yes, and that is called ocean acidification. The oceans keep soaking up the greenhouse gases, which makes the water more acidic. And that hurts marine life, like coral reefs and little fish.
Okay, let me stop you right there. I'm pushing back for the listener here.
Go for it.
If this stuff hurts the ozone layer and messes up the rain and hurts fish and could cause a termination shock, why are really smart groups like the National Academies of Sciences even supporting research into it?
That is the big question.
Yeah.
And the answer is pretty simple, but it's grim. The risks of doing nothing about climate change are also completely terrible.
So it's like choosing between two really bad options.
Yeah. Scientists need to know exactly how dangerous this sun hat tool is before they completely roll it out. If things get really, really bad, we might need it as an absolute emergency button.
Okay. I understand that. But that brings up something else. If the science is this risky, we have to talk about human behavior.
Oh, yeah. The people problem.
Right. Like, who actually gets to push the giant cool down button for the whole planet? And won't having an easy button just make us lazy?
You just hit on a huge concept called moral hazard.
Moral hazard. What's that mean?
It means that if people, and especially big countries and polluting companies, know there's a quick fix to magically cool the planet, they might just stop trying to cut their pollution.
Oh, I get it. It's like when you have a super messy room and instead of actually cleaning it up, you just shove all your toys and clothes under the bed.
Uh-huh.
The room looks clean to your parents, but the mess is totally still there and it's just going to keep growing.
That is spot on.
Oh.
They're worried companies will just shove the pollution under the bed instead of fixing it.
But wait, going back to the button, who's the boss of the sky? Who decides when to spray the tiny mirrors?
That is a massive global problem. There are basically zero international rules for this right now.
Zero.
None.
None. What if one country is too hot and wants the earth cooler, but their neighbor country is worried about losing their rain and doesn't want it? Or what if, like, some rich private company tries to make a bunch of money off this by selling risky cooling credits without asking anyone else?
Exactly. Without global teamwork, it could lead to massive arguments between countries, and it would definitely have unfair impacts, especially for vulnerable communities who wouldn't even get a say in the matter.
That sounds like a gigantic mess.
It really is, and that's why, when you look at all these sources together, they all come back to one ultimate solution.
Which is to actually clean the room, not hide the toys.
Yes. We absolutely must prioritize cutting greenhouse gas emissions and adapting to the climate changes that are already happening. Solar geoengineering is only being looked at as an absolute very last resort.
Well, this has been an incredible journey. So just to recap for all you brilliant listeners out there, solar geoengineering is a fascinating, super powerful, but highly risky tool.
Yep, it's like an emergency earth cooling superpower.
But it's one we are still just trying to understand. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, the absolute best way to help the earth is still to fix the actual problem by polluting less.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, before we go, I want to leave you with a big thought-provoking question. I want you to really ponder this or even talk about it with your friends and family at dinner tonight.
Oh, this is a good one.
Imagine someone invents the perfect space umbrella and it's finally time to set the thermostat for the entire Earth. How would you design a fair way for all 8 billion people and all the animals to vote on exactly what temperature the whole world should be?
That is a brain bender, for sure.
It really is. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep asking those big questions about our incredible planet. Stay curious, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.